You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
All across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlow.
Good morning. Welcome back to Up North News Radio, unabashedly Wisconsin, brought to you by Courier Newsroom, carried by our friends here on the Civic Media Radio Network. 7:06 on this Wednesday morning, September 18th. Nice to have you along. 48 days now until Election Day. Coming up this hour, we'll speak to a couple of school officials from districts up in Superior and Eau Claire about the record number of school referendums that have been on ballots and why that is. And if you think it's because school boards are the ones being reckless and irresponsible with your money, guess again. We will talk about a legislature that continues to be lazy and not hold up its share of the bargain when it comes to educating your kids. Up North News reporter Elizabeth Montemurro will be with us as well in just a bit. There was a vote yesterday in Congress, in the Senate, to protect IVF access for families across America. Republicans killed it, and J.D. Vance wasn't even there for the vote. He was busy campaigning in Eau Claire and couldn't be bothered to back up his words when he says that he supports IVF for women in Wisconsin and around the country. Todd Albo will be along. Meteorologist Brittany Merlot will be here. Greg Box and Waukesha. But first, let's take care of the Go for the Green or Gold text to win contest, because four times a day we give you a keyword that you will text to us on the Civic Media app. Each of those four times throughout the day, we will be picking a winner. The winner will get either gold jewelry or $100 cash, depending on what's up for grabs that hour. Then of all the entries for that hour, or of all the entries total, I should say, there will be one grand prize winner getting a pair of tickets to see the Green and Gold in Green Bay on Monday, December 23rd against New Orleans. The contest happened at 7 a.m., 11 a.m., 1 p.m. and 4 p.m. You have until the end of this hour to text this hour's keyword in the app, which I'll give you in just a moment. You will receive a response message with an optional way to click on a web page link to earn additional entries into the contest by completing certain activities, which sounds nefarious, but it's actually quite harmless and fun. Remember, other Civic Media shows and stations are taking part. This is a statewide contest. So if you haven't got the Civic Media app yet, get going and text this word for your chance to win $100. Helmet, as in a football helmet, H-E-L-M-E-T. Text helmet using the Civic Media app, and you will be part of the Go for the Green or Gold statewide text to win contest. Meteorologist Brittany Merlot joins us now, where the summertime weather rolls on. And Brittany, I can't believe I actually said it last hour. I might be ready to not have these upper 80s near 90 degree temperatures. I might be willing to accept that fall should probably show up in the near future. What's wrong with me?
Uh-oh.
I know.
Uh-oh.
It could just be that I was shopping recently and I saw a couple of really nice flannel shirts, and now maybe I'm just dying to wear them. I don't know. Maybe it's that, but
that's so true. It's the thing. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's the beautiful, beautiful out there right now, but I wish the temperature was just cranked down just a little bit more. Yeah. Unfortunately, sweltering, scorching, sweating, still, unfortunately. You know, it's summer still, I guess, right? The start of fall isn't until the 22nd. So
we've
got the 80s rolling on. We're going to have those low to mid 80s today. So just a touch cooler. And I think we're going to stay going to start to roll in by this afternoon. This is all ahead of the front that, of course, is going to be bringing rain, some showers and storms into northwest parts of the state late tonight and into tomorrow. And then for the rest of the state, by tomorrow afternoon and into Friday morning, we're going to see another wave of showers and storms work their way across. So wet weather is in the forecast. It does stick here for the weekend as well. And temperatures start to cool to maybe some Pat standards as we go into Sunday and early next week. But we are still stuck with those 80s. So again, another low to mid 80s day today. A lot of sunshine to start, more clouds to end the day, and a few scattered showers late into northwest Wisconsin.
All right. And Rob says, good morning from Tigerton. It's sunny and 49. Busy mowing lawns in Wittenberg yesterday. I've got a bunch in Tigerton today. I drank plenty of water and Gatorade, only one soda. And Rob says, for National Cheeseburger Day, you got to play Jimmy Buffett's Cheeseburger in Paradise. I sang that in karaoke a long time ago. Well, Rob, let's bring it back. Again, let's all get out to Tigerton and see if he'll sing a little Jimmy Buffett for us. No Jimmy Buffett karaoke takers over here?
No. Cheeseburger in Paradise.
Yeah.
Tony seconds the notion of just wants to wear flannel, but Tony's up in Ashland where they're going to have frost and freeze warnings probably by, you know, the middle of next week. So, he'll get his chance. All right, Brittany, thank you so much. Have a wonderful day.
You too. Thanks.
All right. It is 7:12 right now on Up North News Radio. And again, we're going to be talking about school district referendums coming up with our guests at 7:30 in just a bit here. But first, let's visit with Up North News reporter Elizabeth Montemurro, talking a bit about something that doesn't get covered as much for Election Day. We've talked all about the presidential, a little bit about the Senate, the congressional, there's legislative, but there's also referendum issues like one for the state constitution that we'll talk about later. And then for school districts as well. Elizabeth, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing well. Good morning, Pat.
Yeah, so we've got all of those things to cover, including the school district referendum coming up at the bottom of the hour. But Elizabeth joins us now to talk a bit about IVF and IVF protection and the vote that was held in the U.S. Senate yesterday, which I will describe quite simply as put up or shut up. Now, Republicans might see it as more of, you know, of a photo op or whatever you want to call it. But Elizabeth, this is IVF protection is something that there is still room to codify this into law. So I don't know that it necessarily qualifies as a stunt. You've talked to people that see a real need to put this into federal law.
Exactly. I, spoke with a group of women just last week about the need and ask for support as they are battling infertility issues. And yesterday, the Senate held the second vote this year to protect IVF. And what this bill does was it really would just bar state and federal governments from enacting harmful and unwarranted limitations on IVF requirements. And it actually would have bolstered fertility treatment for members of the military, our veterans, as well as their spouses and partners. So this was the second time the vote came up in the Senate. But before the vote, Senator Tammy Baldwin actually held a press call talking a little bit more about the need for protection.
Let's hear more from Senator Baldwin then before that vote.
For those who desperately want to start or grow their families, IVF is a lifeline that helps them make their dreams a reality. But the overturning of Roe v. Wade has left that lifeline hanging on by a thread. When the Alabama Supreme Court put IVF on the chopping block, we saw women who desperately wanted to start a family being told that they did not have the right to make that decision. And while Alabama women have had access to family planning services restored, Americans' rights to IVF and other reproductive care is still in jeopardy. Look, to me, the majority of people in the state of Wisconsin, this is simple. Women deserve the freedom to control their bodies, their families, and their futures.
Now, the vote in this yesterday was 51 to 44. A vote would need, 60 votes to get over a prospective filibuster. But it is worth noting 51 and 44 do not add up to the full membership of the Senate, because one of those Republicans who would have voted no was J.D. Vance, who was campaigning in Eau Claire yesterday and insists that there's nothing to fear. Donald Trump says there's nothing to fear. Congressman Brian Stiles said the other day to a constituent, there is nothing to fear, that IVF access will always be protected. And yet, Elizabeth, you were talking to people and you heard from people in that press conference yesterday saying, we can't necessarily take you at your word.
Exactly. There was another mother on the press call yesterday that shared her story as well. And she talked about the importance of protecting that right to IVF, because without it, she wouldn't have her daughter. She wouldn't have the family that she had always dreamed of.
Let's hear from Justine.
Like many people, I grew up assuming that when someone decides they want to have a baby, they get pregnant and have one. You quickly learn that things are rarely as easy as they seem. After almost a year of trying to get pregnant, I had the feeling that we were going to need some additional help. After speaking with my doctor, my husband and I completed labs and different testing, and it was determined that our only likely option to get pregnant was going to be in vitro fertilization, also known as IVF. As we started our journey with IVF, one of our first appointments was with a financial advisor to discuss the coverage and determine likely costs. The cost of IVF is high, and even higher if you must complete the process multiple times, without, of course, a guarantee of pregnancy in the end. Without coverage, we would likely have had to delay starting a family and then also consider how long we were willing to delay, as age can become another risk factor in pregnancy to consider. I think about our IVF journey frequently, and I'm quite certain that without it, I would not have my daughter. As I see individuals losing access to IVF or having that access threatened or paused in the middle of treatments, my heart breaks for them. IVF was the light in a dark tunnel when it seemed there was no other way.
Clearly, this stirs up emotions, even with people who've had the happy ending of having a child, because they understand the real stakes involved for other people who really want to start families.
Exactly. Their emotions were definitely high on the call because it is, it can be a traumatic event, not just the infertility, but then the waiting game sometimes that these families have to play to know even if in vitro worked.
Right. And it's because of that that you come into the issue of there being an excess number of fertilized eggs, because it is still far from an exact science. And so you may have, more eggs fertilized than, children you plan to have, because there are going to be miscarriages and other things that don't take. And then the question becomes, what do you do with those embryos that you no longer want to implant? And that's where you get into the whole notion of whether that is something that has the legal definition of a child. Elizabeth Montmorel, thank you so much for updating on us. We appreciate it. Have a great day. In honor of Jason Sudeikis turning 48 years old today, this is Up North News Radio. It's a Wednesday morning, September 18th. Pat Kreitlow, Greg Bach. We'll have Todd Alba coming up in a little while. Our homeroom segment is just less than 15 minutes away right now. But we were talking into the break when Elizabeth was here about IVF and the whole matter of trust. When we hear that IVF access will be protected, we have to remember that, again, going into the break and talking about whether fertilized eggs meet the legal definition of a child is at stake. And that even though Republicans, including Donald Trump, who surprised a lot of people by saying he's going to try to mandate that insurance companies cover IVF, there's still a not tiny fraction of his supporters, of Republicans, who are outraged by that, and they absolutely want every single embryo to count as a person And that means that, doctors, clinicians, potential parents, and others could be prosecuted for the disposal of excess embryos that aren't being used. There is that trust issue there because some of these same folks, like J.D. Vance, like Donald Trump, are continuing to lie about the basics of abortion. This that you're about to hear from J.D. Vance, this isn't from yesterday in Eau Claire. This was from over the weekend, although I wouldn't doubt if he said it in Eau Claire because he and Trump say it repeatedly. Give a listen to how they are still talking about abortion.
Now, before President Trump, America had the most extreme abortion laws in the world, allowing abortion up to the moment of birth for any reason at all, paid for by taxpayers, and very often with the federal government threatening Christian charities and hospitals that if they didn't do what the progressives wanted them to do, they would get shut down. Now, thanks to President Trump, we have turned the page and our nation has a chance for a fresh start. And today, we all say together, unafraid, we are proud to be the pro-life party in the United States of America. Now, before
when you hear all of that, does that sound like somebody that's going to be okay with the disposal of fertilized eggs that parents decide that they no longer need because they've been able to start the family at the size of the family that they wanted so badly? Or does this sound like somebody who, in defending religious organizations that do not provide adequate information and, in fact, oftentimes try to steer women wrong, doesn't this sound like somebody that would go down that road in terms of mandating, dictating to people what they have to do and the penalties they might face if they were to use IVF in the way that IVF is being used right now? If you're willing to lie about abortion and say that it's still taking place in the ninth month or even after birth, when that's not what abortion is. What that is, it's a medical catastrophe on the part of a fetus that has such abnormalities that it is not compatible with life. But when you tar that as some kind of elective abortion procedure, when you lie about federal funding being used for it, when you take the side of so-called medical organizations that do not provide full information and in fact lie themselves to try to mislead pregnant women and their families, you haven't earned a lot of trust points when it comes to protecting IVF. So that vote yesterday in Washington, D.C. was in fact necessary. J.D. Vance should have been there to cast a vote, and the vote should have been yes. Same goes with Ron Johnson, who talks about his daughter's IVF journey. And yet he votes no because, as he said last time around, well, think about how much that would cost if Donald Trump's plan would go through that it requires insurance companies, health insurance companies, to pay for IVF. That's Ron Johnson saying, well, you know, my daughter, you know, thanks to my being rich, she can do IVF, but it might cost taxpayers money for somebody else to start a family. So it's different levels of protection based on how wealthy you are. But he should have voted yes. And Donald Trump should have been to Washington, D.C. yesterday, urging fellow Republicans to vote yes, to protect IVF, and to put that behind them. Again, the big problem you have, and it's such an easily fixable problem for the Republican Party, is they could put things behind them. They could say, we actually are for IVF, so we're going to vote on this bill, and we're going to put it behind us. We're actually going to get behind the Affordable Care Act, because initially, it was a conservative idea. It uses private insurance companies, and so we're going to declare victory, and we're going to put that behind us. We're going to vote for the bipartisan immigration and border security bill, and we're going to put that behind us, and we're going to look forward on how we can address some of the other ongoing challenges of this country. But instead of putting things behind them, they want to fight the same battles over and over and over again, because it's it's all about the battle. It's all about the elections. It's all about the votes on election day rather than actually solving something. And so we find ourselves in this situation of having to talk about the same topics repeatedly for a reason. And it's our job to explain the reason why. We don't want to be talking about these things every single day. We would like to put these things behind us. But we want all of our friends and neighbors to understand why we're in this Groundhog's Day worthy loop of policy debates and votes, and then more debates and more votes, and more debates and more votes. And it's exactly the kind of thing that we're seeing here in Wisconsin as well, where the Republican-led legislature could have gone along with Governor Evers and funded child care accounts and addressed the child care crisis. And we would have been able to put that behind us. They could release the money for treating contaminated water that has PFAS industrial chemicals, and we could put that behind us. They could release the money that's meant to help with health, a healthcare crisis in the Chippewa Valley with two hospitals closing, and we could put it behind us. And finally, with a multi-billion dollar surplus, they could finally fix school funding so we wouldn't have to have over 100 referendums every cycle. And we could fairly fund schools, and we could put that behind us and look forward with a healthier state economy and with healthier schools. We're going to talk about some of that last topic with our guests coming up right after this break on Up North News Radio, live from Lake Wasota on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Teach your children well. Their father's hell did slowly go by.
7:34 now on Up North News Radio on this Wednesday morning, September 18th. Hey, if you ever miss an hour of our program, you can certainly go and get it in a couple of different ways. You can get it at civicmedia.us. Again, Up North News is a separate entity from Civic Media. The work we do is at upnorthnewswi.com. But Civic Media's website is civicmedia.us. You can find all the stations where this show is heard. You can find out about other shows, about other stations. If you go to our show page, you can click on each hour's program and listen back there on the website. Or you can subscribe to us as a podcast as well. And that way you never miss any of the hours. You can just go through and click the hour that you want and listen back to some of the great guests and topics that we go over. Brewers lost yesterday to the Phillies 5-1, but the Cubs also lost. So the magic number is now 1 to clinch the division, the National League Central. And that could happen as early as this evening. Freddy Peralta will be on the mound for game 3 of a 3-game series with the Phillies. Then the Brewers stay home. Arizona comes to town for the first of 4 games starting tomorrow at 6:40. We also still have going on this hour the Go for the Green or Gold Text to Win contest, where using the Civic Media app, you text us this hour's keyword, and you're in the running for $100 cash. And the keyword this hour is helmet, H-E-L-M-E-T. Text helmet using the Civic Media app. You're in the running for $100 cash. The next drawing, the next opportunity to win will be at 11 a.m. here on the Go for the Green or Gold Text to Win contest on the Civic Media Radio Network. All right, we have certainly spoken at length about the election that's coming up. Learn more about your registration status and what's on your ballot at myvote.wi.gov. On your ballot, it is quite possible there might be a school referendum because, as we discuss every Wednesday at 7:30 during our homeroom segment, we have a problem with the school funding system in this state. And we've spoken at length about some of the causes of it, but we're going to work on the, not the cause, but the effect this time around, the high number of referendums that will be on the ballots again this time. And that includes the school districts of Superior and Eau Claire. And from those districts, we have Superintendent Dr. Amy Starzecki, and from Eau Claire, Superintendent Mike Johnson. Amy and Mike, good morning. Thank you for being here.
Good morning. Thanks for having us.
Nice to have you here. I'm sorry that it's under these circumstances. I'd much rather be talking about the kids and the programs and the opportunities. But right now, it sounds more like we're talking about what is the price just to maintain current opportunities, current operations, and things like that? And Amy, you were saying the referendum that you have coming up in November is the first operational referendum that you've ever had. Can you tell us more about that and what exactly will be on the ballot up there?
Sure. We have had, there's two different types of referendums. There's a capital referendum and there's an operational referendum. Our community has approved capital referendums in the past to remodel our high school, build new elementary schools. Our most recent capital referendum was in 2016. An operational referendum is different in that those are funds we're asking for from our taxpayers to help with just our daily operating expenses and supporting our annual budget. And so we are bringing to our community a non-reoccurring referendum that's a five-year referendum where we'd be asking for $18.5 million over 5 years to support our annual operating budget, which pays primarily for salaries and benefits, staffing, and programs.
And so for a budget, that's obviously that's a great big number. When you break it down at the level of a typical home or taxpayer, how do you explain that to folks?
What we've explained is in the initial years, the amount it would cost a $100,000 home would be $7 a year. As we go into years 3, 4, and 5 of this referendum, the amount gets higher because the projected deficit that we are seeing for years 3, 4, and 5 is much more significant than years 1 and 2. So in years 5, we'd be asking taxpayers for $79 per $100,000 home over a year.
Okay. And Mike, let's get to your ballot issue as well in Eau Claire, what you're asking for and what the numbers look like.
Very similar to Amy's in terms of the length of time. It's a non-recurring operational referendum. It's for 4 school years, $18 million a year here in our district. And that will cost the taxpayer $99 for every $100,000 of property value. It's really to, as Amy had said in Superior, the operational, the day-to-day, it's really for our stability of our educational programs, including our elementary reading, behavioral and mental health resources, school safety, and really sustaining our student-to-staff ratios.
So we have to go back then to the basics to answer questions that listeners might have. For example, why, if this is just cost to continue current operations, and yet you're asking for more money, it must mean that there's been inflation here. And so why can't you just, you know, increase those taxes on your own? And or why can't the legislature just put more money in to cover it? The answer to the first question, Mike, deals with something called revenue limits that have been kind of the they've been a thing for 30 some years now. How do you best explain revenue limits and why you have to go to taxpayers rather than saying, hey, this is the price to continue the same amount of operations?
Exactly. That's one of the items that we do have in our slide deck and our presentations that we've already started. You know, there are a few reasons why we're here in this situation. We do have mandated state revenue limits, and they had started back, over just about 30 years ago when I started my career after graduating from UW-Eau Claire. But yes, the district is not able to just say, well, we're just going to spend more money and put that on the taxpayer. We have to go to the public for this operational referendum to get permission to do so. And for many years, Eau Claire, and we still are a lower spending district. The district was, you know, those caps were put into effect when Eau Claire was very efficient with their money, with their funds. And back in 1994, it was only supposed to be about a year and then a five-year fix. Well, here we are 30 years later, and we are certainly feeling the effects of that.
Oh, without a doubt. Amy, for a school district like Superior as well, this thing that started as a Band-Aid, essentially, in the early and mid-1990s, what has this done over the course of nearly 30 years to education in Wisconsin in terms of, you know, how some districts have either been hurt by this revenue limit scheme, while, you know, more so than maybe other districts have? It just seems to have fostered inequity in how our kids are being educated.
That's exactly right. As we look at I'm just looking at the data right now on my screen. As we look at the revenue per member, the state average across the school districts is $12,500. Both Eau Claire and Superior are well below that, while ours are about $11,500 or so, where other school districts see $16,000, $18,000 per student. If we had the same, if the state had kept up with that revenue limit, we wouldn't be talking about an operational referendum. We would have the funds we need to maintain our small class sizes and the programs that we have in place.
And that gets us to the other part of that equation. Is it's one thing to have to go to the local property taxpayer and say, please allow your taxes to be raised above those limits that were put in place 30 years ago. But the other side of that equation is the legislature, and it doesn't matter who controls it, the legislature and the governor could at any point pass a state budget or a budget supplement bill. They could pass something that maintains state aid to the rate of inflation or more, but let's not get greedy. I'm just saying, Mike, they could pass legislation tomorrow or at any point that keeps state funding up with inflation. But you know, we've had guests here who've said multiple times that state aid hasn't kept up with just the rate of inflation for 16 years. So I'm not terribly surprised that so many districts now have to go to referendum. 16 years of not keeping up with inflation is going to take its toll.
Absolutely. You teed that up perfectly, Pat. That's one of our slides that we show in the community. The inflation outpacing the revenue cap limit. And Amy has probably seen data on this before in graphs, but this trend over the last 15 years equates to just over $35 million in lost revenue in 2022-23 alone just for our district. So, we wouldn't have to go to referendum if the revenue limits were keeping pace with inflation. And, you know, according to the data, you know, we have the questions broken down just in 2024. People do ask me, and people probably ask Amy up in Superior, you know, what's going on with your district, or why do we have to do this? This isn't simply an Eau Claire or a Superior problem. In 2024, there are 149 operating referenda. We have 421 school districts in the state. This is not just a singular issue for a few districts. And the old record was 92. So this is, again, this is truly a state funding problem.
Oh, and it is snowballing with each cycle to the point where, I mean, every district is going through this at some point or another. And if the voters told them no, well, then they're going to have to come through it again at some point and or make some painful cuts along the way. So again, this is not for building a building addition. This is not for rewiring the school or putting up, you know, fancy monitors or a new football field. This is cost to continue current operations. And so, Amy, up in Superior, if a referendum like this were to fail and you could not raise enough funds for current operations, what kinds of things are at stake? And I don't mean that in a threatening way, but obviously you've had to think about these things. What's the reality if you can't continue your current operations as they are?
Well, last year we closed an elementary school in an effort to, be fiscally responsible. We had 6 elementary schools. We now have 5. Last spring, we also cut over 60 staff positions. We were able to maintain our staffing ratios and the same class sizes across elementary and secondary schools. However, if this referendum fails, we will be looking at closing another school, and we will be looking at more drastic staffing cuts that will have an impact on those ratios and increase class size. I also see us eliminating some sports programs or extracurricular programs, and so options for kids will look less.
And Mike, what's the situation look like in Eau Claire if this particular referendum fails?
Most specifically, it's about people and programs. And in our district, what we've been sharing with folks is, you know, all the federal funding that had expired or that will expire at the end of this month. And we did. We knew that was coming. But when we had surveyed the community and our staff about where we should place that federal funding over 2 years ago, you know, 75% to 80% of that funding was put into people to directly impact our students. Class sizes certainly would be impacted. all these supports that we had placed, we mentioned the behavioral and mental health resources. We finally got, according to the to professional associations with counselors, we finally got up to the minimum recommended amount, the ratio of a school counselor to students, school psychologists, social workers, and like I mentioned, the counselors before, as well as our teachers, behavioral, reading interventionists, math interventionists. With that federal funding, it's really to continue the great work that we have been doing that we were able to share with our board in open session on Monday night.
And as Tony comments on YouTube, schools are valuable investments that yield returns far greater than the initial cost. Amen, Tony. And Mike, quickly, if people want to learn more about the referendum in Eau Claire, what do you recommend they do?
Please go to our district website. And very soon, we will also be having a mailer going out to our community. Or to check out our website, we have four opportunities for people to interact, to come to community listening sessions, as well as we're having a virtual one too. We did have a capital referendum in 2022, and that was very helpful to be able to share that information with the community.
Okay. And Amy, if folks want to learn more up in Superior.
We also have a couple community meetings coming up in October. Those meetings are posted on our website, and all the information, including short videos and slideshows and information about our referendum and the details around that, are on our website as well.
Very good. Dr. Amy Starzecki from Superior, Mike Johnson, Superintendent in Eau Claire. Great to catch up with both of you. Best of luck to you. Stay in touch and have a great day.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
Tell you what, at Greg Bach, he listens to the listeners. When they make requests, you say it, we play it. Todd Alba is here now as well. Looks like out on the balcony of your majestic estate out there.
I mean, palatial manor. Palatial manor.
Yes, from stately Alba Manor there. Do you know what midday talk show hosts and radio make in Wisconsin? It is, He could fund both those referendums that we just talked about, you know?
He makes dozens of dollars a year, folks.
Right, exactly. Yeah, my palatial 620 square foot one bedroom apartment.
Yes, that's it. If I may start with, I just want to pick up where we left off, because I did not want to put those two wonderful superintendents in a spot, because it's not their job to be political about this. They're going to the taxpayers, very much hat in hand, and saying, please, I know, and they can't say the things I'm about to say. They can't say your legislators are lazy and they will not hold up their end of the deal. And in fact, if they could, they would take more money away from public schools and put it into these religious private schools, because those are the folks that write donations or who have the theology or the ideology that they espouse. And so I would just tell people, when you look at a referendum question and you see yes or no, and you're tempted to vote no because it asks for you to raise your taxes, that's not the right vote. The vote is yes on the referendum and no on the legislator or the candidate who supports having all these referendums on the ballot. Thanks for coming to my TED Talk. Now it's time for a Todd Talk. Here's Todd Alden.
I totally agree. As a matter of fact, I'm not sure if this is true, but what I hear at Eau Claire is that there's so much – Republicans have put so much money now, taken away from public schools, and Republicans put so much money in private schools, particularly in the Chippewa Valley. They're building a brand-new building right next to Regis High School, and they're calling it Kathy Lee. So, I mean –
I mean, come on.
Mike Johnson, the superintendent of Eau Claire, has been on our program. Great guy, great school district. Yep. And you're right, Pat. If it hadn't been for underfunding by Republican of public schools, probably wouldn't be in this situation. And the Eau Claire school district does a marvelous job. Spent a lot of time up there over the years, and they do great.
And I want to pick up with what I said right before that segment began of how this iteration of the Republican Party just wants to fight the same fights over and over again. They could have declared victory on the Affordable Care Act and said this was initially a conservative thing and put it in the past. They could have passed the money for PFAS and put it in the past. They could have done so many things, a multi-billion dollar surplus. Let's fix the school funding thing and put it in the past. Let's vote for the IVF bill and put that behind us. Let's vote for the immigration and border security bill and put that behind us. In every one of those, it would have looked like a win-win. But because it's not win-lose, because they don't, you know, come out on top, then they just want to keep fighting the same fights. And it's so not productive. It just doesn't seem to me worthy of anybody's support anymore.
The good news is, Pat, we're not going back.
That's what I hear.
We're going to keep on moving forward. And I think that's like the exciting part, right? I don't disagree with anything you said. But I also believe we'll give people a little bit of hope once in a while. And I think the hope is that with these new legislative maps, there's more competition than ever before. And hopefully, maybe not everywhere, but at least in some places, it's going to force some of these candidates, particularly new candidates in open seats, to be more centrist. And I think that will result in more reasonable legislation. I think depending upon how Tammy Baldwin does, and by the looks of people jumping off of SS Eric Hubdy's boat, it looks like she's doing pretty well. I've heard that both Rebecca Cook in the 3rd and Dr. Lyerly in the 8th Congressional District now have real shots, according to national political people that follow this stuff, for victories. It's all going to come down to turnout. It's all going to come down. Yesterday was National Voter Registration Day. Have a plan to vote, as our colleague Luke Mathers likes to say. Be a voter. And I think there is some real hope this time around for some change.
It's funny. You alluded to this, and we didn't mention it on the program yet, but that there's been a little bit of turnover for the Hovde campaign in the race against Tammy Baldwin. But unfortunately, and this is one of the things that makes me a little bit crazy about the Journal Sentinel website, is that a story might be on that front page for like, you know, an hour, and then it's gone, you know. Yeah. And I know I saw that. Oh, here it is. Oh my gosh, it's so far down now on the you have to go to the news page, and it says Republican candidate Eric Hovde has quietly replaced key parts of his campaign in recent months. He's parted ways with his fundraising and media consultants and top members of his communications team. Well, if that doesn't sound like something we talked about from the get-go, a guy that's like, I'm smarter than everybody. I can basically run my own show.
Yeah. I mean, Jane and Greg and I talked about it on Matt and Aaron on air yesterday. It's obviously funny. I also think that, as you well know, as a former legislator, particularly at the congressional level, there are national committees, and Mitch McConnell, the Republicans, have put a certain amount of money into Eric Hovde, despite he put $13 million into this race. I think he raised between $3 and $4 million. Tammy Baldwin's raised like $30 million. Mm-hmm. And so the Hovde people, or the Mitch McConnell, is saying, you know what, we want a little return on that investment. And, you know, as my former boss, Scott Klug, said, their first commercials looked like they could have been made in a junior high AV class. And so I think now they're getting some more serious ads. I don't think they're accurate, but I think it will make the race tighten a little bit. And that's why I think we can't take that race for granted.
Cannot. More about this with Todd Alba on his program coming up at noon today. And your next chance.
Also, come to Cheese Days in Monroe this weekend. We're going to be there Thursday and Friday.
Okay. Learn more about cheese days. Greg Bach is back for Matinee on Air in 2 little hours, Greg.
Heck yeah. We got Dr. Laura Hanks at 11:30 with public service announcement and another keyword in the Go for the Greener Gold text to win contest.
Wonderful. Thanks, guys. Have a wonderful day. Thanks to all of you for being with us on Up North News Radio. We'll see you tomorrow morning.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.